All right, this is the St. Hill Special Briefing Course first lecture. And this is the 12th of February, AD 13. And you will have only one lecture tonight. Reason for that being there's less data to put out now, more persuasion. And you're going to have to exercise this, and probably you get very tired. How do you get very tired and exhausted being talked to a couple of hours on a couple of nights? So I'm going to talk to you tonight about 212A and 3MX. All right. I have a bit of a news bulletin. Has nothing to do with the mental health empire that Mr. Kennedy is trying to create in the United States at $1.6 billion. That isn't news. The federal government, of course, always has wanted the right to incarcerate any citizen without trial. And, of course, immediately they get their legislation passed. Why they will be able to do that. In other words, they'll be able to incarcerate any citizen without permission from his family, without a medical consultation, and without a trial, and we'll be able to move him at any time without consultation with the family or a hearing or a trial, and do anything to him they wish, such as electric shocks and prefrontal lobotomies. And, of course, that makes a very interesting political empire, and Mr. Kennedy is trying to create just that empire right this minute. So I think that's very interesting. So I'm not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about something much more important. Something much more important. Me. I was a clear last night. It's a very remarkable experience. Very remarkable experience. I was first goal clear. You say, I was a first goal clear. Well, actually, I was a first goal clear for all of about 3 minutes. And we went on to the second goal. What happened was quite interesting. As I got the last package of items, the last two, on the spiral staircase, there were 25 items in all. And I got the last pair, and in listing the last item, actually the last two items, my TA sat exactly at 3. At about the 18th reliable item, the goal had already blown. I felt like an electron parade. I felt like a proton sitting in the middle of a heavily spinning electron. I thought that was quite fascinating. The goal was going zoom, 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 actually. And on the meter, Mary Sue was sitting there, and she went completely out of session. Sitting there... And she was just bringing the needle down, and the thing was blowing down on rocket reeds. Pew, 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 pew. And it blew all the way down from about 4 to about 3, and that was about that. That was at about the 18th. But the goal didn't give up the ghost until we had 7 more items. And she got the 25th item. That includes finding the goal, by the way. That's 24 RIs and the goal. And she found the goal, and went straight into it, went straight on through. I never had any time to cognite, because on some of these sessions she found some championship numbers. As a matter of fact, one of these sessions, in 5 hours and 15 minutes plus some breaks, she found 9 RIs. This didn't give us much time. Actually, this auditing sprint goes from about the 4th to the 11th. It's about 1 week, something like that. The total time elapsed during that period is probably, because it was prepared, the goal had been found before, it's probably about 30 hours on this, something like that. But I was first goal clear for 3 minutes. I got up, went over, and sat down and on the couch, and I ate 4 or 5 peanuts and I drank a Pepsi Cola, and, well, that was very nice. I sat there and enjoyed the sensation of being unburdened and all cleaned up, and I probably looked very young and very dashing. Everything was fine, and I came back, and she saw that I was sitting on a free needle. And I sat on a free needle while you could count one and two and three, and then she started opposing the final upturn. And all hell broke loose, and I went through straight bang. I cautioned her. I said, wait a minute. Wait, I'm not sure this is the right thing to do. I said, test the goal. The goal she'd already tested, it wasn't firing and so forth. So she opposed this last upturn, and what do you think? She found another upturn, and then something that won't happen to you because it has already happened to me. We didn't make the test. She treated it as a terminal and listed it. Of course, that was the end of the free needle. We got this all straightened out finally. We had a very hectic time of it. But the bridge between the first goal and the second goal is very simple. You just oppose the last upturn and you're in the soup. As I got the first pair, one of them listed backwards, I told the auditor what my next goal was. And that rocket read, and that's fine. So we're operating on this goal, and it was very hard to get these things, next item straightened around, because, of course, they're in reverse to what you would expect. So anyway, we're about two or three items deep now on the next goal. Actually, we found one RI, and we have a list going. And we've got to take this upterm against the last upterm I got on the first goal, and we've got to do something with that and list it right way, too. We've made some progress. But you never saw anybody nosedive quite as fast from the sublime to the soup. That was really remarkable. Which is very good data for you. I'm not telling you just because it's me. I'm telling you because you undoubtedly, you knucklehead, I know you. I'm looking straight at you. I know you. You, sooner or later, will hear the PC say, that goal is gone. Check the goal, find it doesn't fire. You'll be 20 or 30 RIs deep. And you'll say, well, I don't know. And then you will oppose it. And then you will fail to apply the terminal upterm check to the result and list it backwards. And then your PC will be very unhappy indeed. So I know you'll do this sooner or later. Even I may do this sometime when I'm in a hurry. But the funny part of finding the next goal, the PC presents you with the next goal. But let me tell you something. You actually can't list without that next goal. You've got to know what the goal is. Everything fouls up unless you really know what the goal is. So you can't really, in spite of what I told you, go very far on RIs without knowing the PC's goal. In other words, you can't take rocket reading RIs just all by themselves and list, and expect the thing to be very happy as an experience, because the PC has nothing to align them against and is running in the dark concerning what his goal is. He doesn't know, so this leaves a tremendous mystery. You had better find his goal. Actually, it's very easy to find his goal because he's sitting right in the middle of a terminal that has that as a central goal. So you just take a short goals list, two, three, four goals, and one will rocket read like mad. You check it out, that's his goal, and you continue. It's very easy to do. Make sure that you do it. Now, I didn't mean to be so hard on you with regard to your auditing. But when somebody in Z unit can actually take the source list of a PC's goal, take the source list of this PC's goal, take it, extend it out, and find an RS. An RS, after having found a dozen or two rocket reads, ignores the rocket reads and opposes this little tiny RS after the lecture I gave you Thursday night. Hanging and drawing and quartering. That's too good for him. That's a completely knuckle-headed act. It's asinine. Goals are RR. If you've got RRs on the list, you want RRs. You don't want RSs. And you never, get me now, you never take one of the little squirt, little tiny half-inch RSs on 212 or anything else. You carry one of those little tiny RSs around, they're going to get you no place. They're going to pull a mass in on you and everything else. When I was being hard on you a moment ago and said that you were liable to do it, when this kind of an error can exist, after my last Thursday night's lecture, after a bulletin on the subject, and I'm ashamed to say, pass by an instructor's view and actually can be listed when the PC's rocket reading item lies on that source list already to be picked up and opposed, you understand now why I sometimes speak with, well, bitterly, shall we say? Bitterly. I sometimes speak bitterly. Because you couldn't do it. You try to figure out what a little kid's going to do with a coaster wagon, you know? And you never can figure it out. It becomes a tent or something like that. The alder is fantastic. Now, we're talking now about 3MX. All right? It ceases to be 3MX and becomes 3M. Because it'll carry right on through, right according to Hoyle. Bangity, bangity, bang. But you're dealing here with a precise process. It's built like a watch. It has exact rules. It doesn't have too many rules. And it is very, very easy to do. Only you can make it difficult. Actually, it's a fact. Only you can make it difficult. It is probably the easiest process to do, aside from the simple repetitive process of olden days that you have had. It's even simpler because it reveals its exact result. Bang, bang, bang. And if you don't get that exact result, you're doing something wrong. That's all. You're just doing something wrong. Now, for a very long time, I've been looking for a process that invariably cleared PCs easily. Well, I know enough about how 212 works and how so on to know that this listing phenomenon will continue. They all behave the same, providing they have an auditor. It always helps. Always helps to have an auditor. And there have been PCs here and there from time to time who have had an auditor. Now, given an auditor and an invariable process, why, we could achieve a process that invariably cleared PCs easily, and we've got that now in routine 3M. Now, we also had to have a process that was very precise, and it was invariable. You didn't have a whole bunch of rules in connection with a thing that could be varied. On PCs with green hair, you run 16 items, except on PCs with purple hair, you go 72 items, and then PCs with splay feet from Puget Sound only go 59 items. See, that isn't what we wanted. When you come to the crossroads, if there are several leaves on the ground, you always turn to the right, except when you turn to the left, but on some PCs you go straight ahead. Well, I didn't want that kind of thing. I wanted the kind of process that was perfect process. In other words, PC, process, same difference. All right, you got that now in 3M. But because you haven't had processes like that lately, you're going to have to learn to live with it because it can call you an awful liar. You say you've done it right, and all of a sudden it all goes wrong. Something goes wrong. Well, it isn't 3M that went wrong. It was you. You took a terminal and treated it as an op term. Or you took a wrong source of some kind or another. Any number of plain-to-see goofs, but the wrong sources wouldn't have fired, and the terminal opturn wouldn't have passed the checkout rules for an item. These are the things that would have gone wrong. Now, to settle those things and make sure they're right, we have to have invariable rules, and we've got those. It was through breaking one of these invariable rules, by the way, failure to check out an item, just whether it was terminal or opterm, applying the 8 tests that caused us to blunder as we dropped into the second GPM and made a much massier second GPM for a little while than I care to confront for a while. But it was just dropping one of these rules, getting cocky, you know? Everything's going along, pocket-a, 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 bang, 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 everything, and everything's falling into place. Why check them, you know? So, didn't check one. Boom, it was wrong way, too. The thing goes wrong way, too, when you drop from goal one to goal two, and probably will do the same thing on between dropping from goal two to goal three. The next rule is the process has to be teachable by rote. In other words, you have to be able to teach it by rote. In other words, you say, there's this, and there's that, and there's the other thing, and you do this, that, and that, and that. Doesn't much matter how complicated the rote is, but you have to be able to teach it by rote. And after that, why, it'll fire. You leave much to judgment on such a thing, and it can't be relayed. And the final thing is, would not be subject to change. Now, that's totally foreign to you in Dianetics and Scientology. You wouldn't know what to do with that. But there it is. The actual fact is I have been working toward it. I wanted something for the long haul, so that when we train somebody to do it, we train them to do it. And they do that from there on out. I've been working and working. Several times I've thought I had it. And each time you've proved me wrong. And I'm making very sure this time you don't. This one, we're holding the fort on this one, man. This is it. Now, with 212, we had a this is it. And 212 is just as good right this minute as it was when it was first released, with this exception. We have found it unnecessary to null, and we have found there was invariability of the occurrence of the RS as the last RS on the list, if the list was complete. And so we had 212A. Well, that simply dropped out some unnecessary points in 212. It threw away tiger drilling and so forth, and made it very good. But out of the listing phenomena of 212, we now have the listing phenomena of routine 3M. And you'll find out this is just as invariable, and it's very good. It's invariable to this degree. In 212, you always go 50 items beyond. 50 items. Never 49. Never 42. There are 50 items. Count them 50. You do that with any source list, whether it is 212A or routine 3M or 212. Just do any source list. Go 50 beyond. And on all lists of 212, 212A, always go 50 items beyond the point where the tone arm became still, and 50 items beyond the last RS. I'll give you an idea. The tone arm goes still. You count 13 items. You get an RS. Now you go 50 more. But at the point where the tone arm went still, you didn't get an RS after that. It's just 50. Don't you see? That's the way that works. That's invariable. Never go less than 50. Never, 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 never. If the needle is tightening up, you probably got a wrong way of pose, or something like that, because it shouldn't, in 212, tighten appreciably in that 50. 75, 80, 100, you're liable to get something going pretty tight. But that needle will stay loose for that period. Now, in 3M, you go 50 items beyond in a source list. 50 items beyond in a source list. Never 49, never 48... Number 27, that's 50 items beyond the still point where the TA became still and last RS. Same rule exactly. Now, on 3M lists from RIs, you only go 25 beyond. That is adequate because you're dealing with rocket reading items, and they are more closely compacted together, so you always go 25. In other words, the source list to routine 3M is 50 beyond, and the lists for the reliable items taken from a reliable item go 25 beyond the still point of the tone arm, and the last rocket reading or rock slamming item. In other words, you get a rocket read or a rock slam, you go you're 25 beyond that in routine 3M. You understand, it doesn't matter whether it rocket reads or rock slams. You go 25 items beyond that needle agitation. Why is this? It's actually because a rocket read converts very easily to a rock slam and vice versa. Actually, these things, many rock slams do not convert to rocket reads, but rocket reads, as they start blowing up, go into rock slams. It's quite interesting that a gull in the last part of its run may suddenly give rock slam, rocket read. And then tiger drilled a little bit will give rocket read, rocket read, rocket read. And then frayed up by another couple of items and so forth, go rock slam, rocket read, rock slam. In other words, these are cousins. They're worse than cousins. Actually, it's uncle and nephew, where the rock slam is the nephew. The senior of the two is the rocket reed. So you only need to go 25 items beyond that. But always make sure you go 25 items beyond. Now, an instructor is not to check out anything that hasn't been carried 25 items beyond. And you're not to muck it up or start calling the PC's attention to anything until you've got 25 items beyond. I mean, that's all there is to it. Routine 3M, and it's 50 is the figure for 212, 212A. Those are invariables. See what I mean by an invariable rule? Now, the source list for 212, just the source list, can have the rock slam occur on it any place. The rock slamming item can occur anywhere on that source list. It's not the last rock slam. It's any rock slam on the list may be it, so long as you don't have two things rock slamming. You have one thing rock slamming, you apparently have a blank list, you check over those other rock slams, and all of a sudden you've got a nice, great, big, wide RS that you didn't suspect existed. And sometimes this is embarrassing because the source list, you're starting to list a source list, and all of a sudden it RSs, and you think the source wording, like in present time, what are you in contact with, you think that's rock slamming. No, no, it's the first item that the PC's already thought of. You put that down on the list, and you carry on, and you get some other RSs and that sort of thing, and pretty soon you really can't find what happened. What happened to your rock slam? Because nothing is now rock slam. You go back, was the first item he put on the list. But does that mean then that you shouldn't complete the list? Well, it doesn't mean you shouldn't complete the list. You should complete the list and go 50 beyond the last RSing item, because just as likely the rock slam would have pulled out of that first RS into another item. That contest in a source list is to try to get the most fundamental item you can get for that list. You don't want any item on the list, and you never want two reads on the same list. You don't want two items reading on the same list, rock slamming or rocket reading. That tells you the list is incomplete. There'll only be one slamming on a 212A list, and that will be the item. But it can occur any place on the list. Well, similarly, in 3M, in routine 3M, your source list, of course, is your goal oppose. You never list anything off the goal except goal oppose. And that source list takes you intimately and at once write down one of these rock slamming, rocket reading list, if it's the right goal, of course. And it goes right on down the line, bangity, bangity, bang, and you go 50 beyond the last rocket read or rock slam. Now, don't blow your brains out or try just to test that last RS and say, well, it isn't on the list because the last RS doesn't read, or the last RS reads tiny little bit and so forth, so I guess we better go on and so on. You got rocket reads all over the list. Look, in 3M, you don't fool with rock slams unless you absolutely have to. If there's nothing on that source list but rock slams, you'll have to take the rock slam. But if you got rocket reads, you only examine rocket reads, or that is to say, you only use the rocket reads, you can examine the RSs. Now, this means what? This means that the first rocket reading reliable item may occur anywhere on that 3M source list, so long as the list is complete. The only sin is not to complete the list. I remember we had a couple of students down here. I've forgotten when it was. 61, I guess it was. We had one of these students. He was always flying in everybody's face. And she used to go down. And the auditor would list on her a 3D list. Horrible. Terrible to behold. His 3D list. 12 items long. And then the PC would say, oh, well, that's it. I know what the item is now. And it didn't even have to read. The auditor would simply use it. Naturally, she wound herself up zangity bang. Actually, when a PC tells you that is the item, it's a sure thing you'd better list further. PCs do cognite on items, but not until they're well on their road to clear. Now, the point I'm making here is the rule consists simply of completing the list. And this completion of the list, or the item that comes off the list, has nothing to do with the PC's opinion. This is not up to the PC. It's simply a mechanical action. And when you do that mechanical action, you look for the thing mechanically. When do these rules blow up? When do these rules blow up? Well, they blow up when you've goofed and start relisting. After you've opposed the wrong item or run one wrong way too, you'll find your lists and rules and things are wobbly. So you want to do them right in the first place. Occasionally you'll do one wrong. You'll get down to the end of the list and you won't find anything. You'll say, what happened? You won't find anything on the whole list. Well, you probably listed something wrong way too. That's what it is. Now you go back and try to extend some lists. You'll find you've got more TA action. You've got more rocket reads. You've got more RSs. Where do they all come from? Well, it came from the fact that you've shaken up the bank. And it's not lying there neatly now, so the rules go out accordingly. All kinds of weird things happen. You got that now. After you've done a mistake, then other things can start going adrift on you. But if you don't make mistakes, they won't go adrift. The most costly thing in time and consumption is to make a mistake. That's terrible. Now, where you have listed something wrong way too, then you've gotten the item and you've opposed that item that you got wrong way too, it won't go anywhere. Now, look, in 3M, on items taken from a source list, it is always the last rocket reading item. It is never any other item on the list. It's always the last one. Now, if it isn't the last one, then just before that, you goofed. You pushed one wrong way, too, or you didn't complete a list, or you didn't complete it to a point where all the tone arm action was out. It was a real good goof. And so on. And it dead-ends you. In other words, something like riding a donkey, and the donkey takes you over to the edge of the corral, and he authoritatively dumps you over the corral fence. And you find yourself, you're no longer in the corral, you're no longer in the GPM, you're floundering around outside saying, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? It's gone, 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 gone. Well, you just goofed on these rules. And you stay with the GPM and clearing as long as you don't goof. But if you do goof, you know it. Because you'll all of a sudden dead end. You'll do a list on which there are no RRs or RSs. It's just gone. Or if they had RRs and RSs, you go back and you check each one with great confidence. You say, I will now read you the last rocket reading item on the list, you say. A tiger. It didn't read. First time it's happened, you see, gotten cocky. You've done 12, 14 items. Perfect, you see. Now, always the last one on the list. It's cocky, you see. You say, well, I'll now read you the last rocket reading item on the list. A tiger. It didn't rocket read. Imagine your embarrassment at this time. You see the PC's face sort of screw up, you know. He says, what's that? Tiger. Oh? You say, well, it didn't rocket read. He said, I shouldn't think it would. Doesn't mean anything to me. Where'd you go wrong? No. You didn't usually You could fix it up so you hadn't completed the list. But usually it isn't that you haven't completed the list. And it's not that the RR lies someplace else on the list. You goofed on your source item. You either done it wrong way two, or you have taken it from one you've done wrong way two. You've made a mistake, or you failed two lists ago to take all the tone arm action out and go your 25 items because the PC said he was feeling too dopey to go on. I'd love to hear some PC say that to me. I would get in my mid-route so fast make his head swim. I'd get him in between the last sessions, and I'd take all his missed withholds, and his mother's missed withholds, and his grandfather's missed withholds, because the only thing that can knock you flat on one of these lists is to have your midroods out. You can get this PC who's doping. He's going dopey. Going dopey. Yeah. A cargo and a clug wug. After he's done this for half an hour, even somebody in V unit might notice. He might notice. And then, by some miracle, remember, Ron said that the person had missed withholds, and pick him up and get the midroods in between the last two sessions or something. Do the works and straighten it all out, and then get your list and your tone arm action picks up. Because a missed withhold is the only bug. That's the only thing it can... If your rudiments are wildly out, you got a missed withhold, which all amounts to the same thing, you're going to get no TA action and think a list is complete when it is not complete. That is particularly patent. The symbol you want to look for is the doping PC. The PC goes dopey. He can't keep his eye open and so on. He says, well, the mask keeps hitting me in the face and so on. Very reasonable. It's very reasonable, but he just got missed withholds and his between-session rudiments are out. So put them both in. Now, these are about the only variables you're going to run into. These things can be taught. I can see you teaching them now with a knout and a ruler. But frankly, 3MX has its own discipline. If you ever wanted to see a worried auditor, if you ever wanted to see an auditor dripping blood on the report sheet, it's an auditor who has all of a sudden had 3MX go up in smoke. He's been going along, pocket of pocket of pocket of pocket of pocket. Everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine. You know, he's got about 14 items deep. And all of a sudden, the donkey moves over to the edge of the corral and dumps him outside. And he's sitting there, and it's not the last rocket reading item on the list. And you'll see the auditor start to go, and there's nothing on the list. And he checks, reads all the rocket reading items. Bank's beefing up on the PC, you see, more and more. More rocket reading items he reads, you see, the more the bank beefs up on the PC and the unhappier the PC gets. And he'll say, it's a tizzy bum, a Kennedy killer, a psychiatric swindle. where the hell? Where is it? Didn't write anything on the back of this thing. Well, maybe we ought to complete the list. Yes. Now, before he says maybe we ought to complete the list, actually, you ought to look over. Did he run all of the TA action out? And did he go his 25 items beyond the last rocket reading or rock slamming item? Did he do these things? If he did them, then there's something just ahead of this list, like the item it came from, or the item that the item this came from. See, tracing it back, where all the tone arm action wasn't out, where he didn't go 25 items beyond, or where the PC doped off throughout the whole thing. There's something wrong there. He either did a wrong way to oppose, he thought a terminal was an op term, didn't do his tests, you see, and did a wrong way oppose. He got an item all right, and then all of a sudden he winds up with this list. It doesn't have anything on it. Well, it doesn't occur to him to just step back two items and check those lists. Usually, he shatters because it's so perplexing. What you want to do is just step back a couple and check up and find out if you did those right. Run your tests on those items. Find out if they still fire. Find out what item you goofed up. It'll only be one or two back of you. Do the thing right way, too. But now don't expect, because you've goofed, you see, don't expect the rules to hold good. That's my message for you. Don't expect the rules to hold good now. Let's say you didn't complete the list. Well, you've already opposed what you did take off the list, so you've loosened the bank up, so therefore the rocket reading and rock slamming count is going to go out on you. You see what's going to happen? In other words, this thing is not going to behave exactly according to Hoyle. And I'll tell you what you do then. You pay the penalty for having goofed. And you somehow or another get the car back on the highway or get the saddle back on the donkey. Somehow or another. You do it by repairing the immediately prior items to this, straightening them out as best you can, and proceeding on down. Actually, there is a way to do this, but as long as you leave an item wrong way opposed, you're going to leave a jam in the PC's bank. So you're going to have to straighten that out anyhow. If you just lost track entirely and you couldn't find out where you went, you can still run goal oppose. And running goal oppose, you will wind up with your next consecutive item. But make sure that you find out by test if it's a terminal or an op term. Make very sure of that. If you don't make sure of that, you've had it. Because there's the one, it's the odd beat one, which is most likely to fool you. You're listing for a terminal. You see, you're listing opposition to an op term. So, in your head, you say, of course I will get a terminal. So, therefore, your whole attention at this point is on getting a terminal. So, you get it, and then you give it to the PC, and the PC is all too willing to buy this thing as a terminal. So, he says it's a terminal. You list who or what with that terminal. Oppose, and it's wrong way too, and you can get an item, believe me. For the moment, your rules will hold good, because you're clearing the width of your needle swing and so forth doesn't give you the same indicators of a tightening needle that you get in 212. It doesn't get that tight. It gets tighter, but what do you mean tighter? The thing is going this way, and it's not very tight, so you don't think that it amounts to anything, and you say, well, see, your tightening needle. You don't make these tightening needle tests, by the way, in 3M. It's too hard on the PC. You don't list it one way and then the other way, the way you do in 212 and 212A. You just list it right in the first place. And you've got several things that tell you whether or not it's right. And those are given to you here. There are a lot of these tests as to what the thing is. There are 8 tests, actually, and they're in a slightly prior bulletin to this. You go down these 8 tests, one right after the other, and you'll get yourself full knowledge of whether or not it's terminal or an op term. It's not very hard to establish it. You don't have to establish it by listing. You don't have to establish it by pain and sin. You can establish it by whether it turns on mass. When you say oppose it or it oppose, or and you want the one that turns on the least mass. There are actually 8 methods of testing this. That's the way you do this. You always test these things. Now, you'll tend not to test them because the PC complains. It upsets the PC every once in a while. He's sitting there, and he knows a tiger is his terminal. He's very happy about this. He knows it's his terminal. He's all set. Fine. And you all of a sudden say, consider committing overts against the tiger. And he, I commit overts against the tiger. And so forth. And you say, consider committing overts against the tiger. Consider committing overts against the tiger. Now, did that turn on more mass or less mass? It turned on more mass. All right. Now, consider tiger committing overts. Consider a tiger committing overts. Consider a tiger committing overts. And did that turn on more mass or less mass? Turns on less mass. It's a terminal. What's the matter with you, you idiot? And the PC will say things like this to you, and you'll get to a point after a while where you won't test these things. And then one day you'll be sitting there, and everything was going along beautifully, and all of a sudden you haven't got an item on the list. Gone. Magic. Disappeared. What did you do? You didn't test. That's as simple as that. That's the immediate penalty for it. Now, there's something you should know about a goal. Here's another part of tests on the goal. You don't find a goal. Let's say, let's get this goal. Let's get this goal. To be a hero. See? Let's take this goal. To be a hero. And you're listing it. And the first terminal you get on it is not an heroic man. Oh. You say, that's obvious, you know. Obviously, you got the goal to be a hero. And therefore, the first terminal, of course, would be an heroic man. And what would an heroic man oppose? And you list that, and you get a coward. And you say, that's very interesting, because that's the op term. And then you do your third list, and all of a sudden you're looking at your papers, and you can't find any RR that Mao reads. You say, where is it? Where'd it go? There you are. That's because you don't know this about goals. The PC's goal at the beginning of the run has always gone into the hands of the enemy. The enemy has his goal. He doesn't. That's always an invariable. Actually, you won't even get the straight things. If you oppose wrong way too, you don't arrive with the right item. You arrive with some other item. And so you're going along, and you get your first item for this goal, and it's a pusillanimous punk. That's to be a hero, the goal, see? Pusillanimous punk. You say, obviously it's an op term. Oh, no, it isn't. It's terminal. That's where he wound up with that goal. That's where he now is. He is a pusillanimous punk. And what is the op term? An heroic man. Oh, interesting, isn't it? That's his upturn. That's his enemy. He's gotten to a point now where he sees anybody acting in a heroic fashion, and he says, sneer. Interesting, isn't it? Whatever his goal is, he's in the opposite terminal when you first find it. In other words, he's not in the op term. Now, don't misinterpret this and think yourself to death. His first terminal designation, the less you had to do with significance is the better, but this will help you because you're liable to fall into this trap. The first item you find may be an heroic man for the goal to be a hero, and you go right along and you say, well, of course, that's a terminal. No, if it's the first item, and it says an heroic man, and the goal is to be a hero, you know doggone well that's an op term. Invariable. Let's get an idea now. Let the PC has a goal to be nice. And your first opposition item coming up is to be a nasty, snot-nosed little brat. A nasty, snot-nosed little brat. You say, well, obviously, that's the op term. No, it isn't. That's where your PC got to on that goal. That's the PC, a nasty, snot-nosed little brat. Now, the PC very often doesn't like this because he's found out that his goal was to be nice. And so he's going to sit there and say, now, let's see, I'll be nice. So, therefore, my terminal is obviously a nice person. No, it isn't. That's the op term. Now, listen to this carefully. When he gets halfway through these terminals, let's say he's going to have 30 terminals on this or some such thing, and when he gets to about 15, it's even Steven. In other words, the terminal and the op term alike are, well, it's something like this. A person who is all right, I guess, opposes a person who is probably okay. Neither one of them to be nice, see? In other words, there's a counterbalance here. And at the beginning, the op terms are all big heroic goal op terms, you see, that represent the goal, and then that comes down through kind of like an hourglass on a curve and then gets to a middle ground. And then after that, the op term starts to lose. Don't you see? And the PC's items start to get more and more like the goal. You understand? And finally, the last op term, which explains to you why old routine 3 ran when you got the right item, the last op term, and when it did run, that you get on the goal to be a hero The last one, see, that's number 30 or something like that, will be a pusillanimous, cowardly, shaking piece of jelly. And the PC's item will be a hero. But that's 30 items later. That doesn't sound like at the beginning, see. And in the middle ground, you'll see these things. The enemy is less and less the goal, and the PC is more and more the goal on a fantastically gradual gradient. And it's quite remarkable. So that when you can count on this, you can use this. This is very precise. You can use this very well. Let's say to be a hero is the PC's goal, and you do who or what with the goal to be a hero oppose. And you finally come up with a rocket reading item on the list, which Rocket reads beautifully, and it says an heroic man. Actually, you've arrived with the op term. Not because it was listed that way, but because that would be the first RI. Invariable. And the last one will be comparable to the PC when you first find him and start pushing him through the bank. The last op term is a pusillanimous punk. See? And the first terminal is a cowardly brat. You see? In other words, they're at opposite ends of the pole, see? It's very interesting, and they cross in the middle and become quite similar to each other. You see how this goes? You can actually know where you're progressing on running out of goal by just looking at these items and seeing how they less and less approximate the goal in the op term and more approximate the goal in the terminal. And also, you can prevent yourself from making a god-awful mistake. All this is very interesting, but how long does it take actually to clear somebody on a first goal? Well, given his goal, and given perfect, rote, rapid auditing, everything going along fine, you're only looking at a maximum of about 50 hours, unless you goof. Now, goofs are what cost time. Now, man, you could get five RIs, see, while you're straightening out one goof. It's fantastic. The thing that eats up time is the goof. Get one RI backwards just because you didn't have time because you're in such a hurry or something like that. Enlist it backwards on a wrong way to oppose, and there you go. I mean, it just... You're sunk. You're going to eat up 5, 10, 15 hours trying to get back on this donkey. You understand? I mean, that's what cost time in 212, 212A, and so on. That's what cost the time. And in 3M, that can be said with exclamation points. Because the PC's been perfectly happy, and now the PC is miserable as hell. He doesn't know whether he's going or coming. He's miserable. Terrible state. He said, well, I don't know, and so on. He's thrown for a loop. Well, I thought it would be an item. I cognited on that item I gave you, a supercilious idiot. I cognited on that, and so on. It's perfectly all right with me. And you say it doesn't read. Well, of course, somebody who was trained in some far-reaching place would say, well, we'll just give him the item. Or just commit suicide because you're never going to have a clear. Well, we just give him the item. He liked the item. It didn't read, but he liked it. Well, he might have liked it, but I don't. And if you just want to not clear somebody at all, just give him a false item that doesn't read and say there's good reasons why it didn't read and all this sort of thing. These things read, man. In other words, your goof is what's going to eat time. Actually, if you were very rapid and very slippy, and your PC was not having a bad time in his own environment while he was being audited, so you didn't have to waste lots of time getting in all kinds of rudiments and all that sort of thing, and you're going along, you're probably looking at, I don't know, you're probably looking at 30 hours with absolutely not a slip any place, you see. But, we'll say that it went a little slower than that and so forth, and estimated at about 50. All right. What do we rack up with some auditor who's driving all over the road and that sort of thing? Well, we rack up all of his auditing time lost, plus all the auditing time that somebody else has to put in to straighten the PC out. And it will take you 100 to 150 hours to straighten out a PC that's been thoroughly loused up by some lousy auditor. Yeah. And you're going to sit and swear because you can't help but skid on the ice soon, particularly when you're first starting in on this, once or twice, and you're going to sit there sometime for two continuous days trying to figure out, oh my God, what did I do, you know? What did I do? Where did it go? I mean, what was it? What was it? Well, let's see. Ron said if you ran a goal of pose again, you could come up with an item. You come up with an item and it doesn't fit any place and you get that one wrong way too. and that's happened. Didn't know where to go with that. And so now you've got another item you don't know where it is. And oh, God. You wish that you had put in that extra 10 minutes testing the item out each time. And you'll wish that you were a little smoother. And you'll wish you had paid attention to this exact sequence of delivering the item. The sequence is, read the last RS if there is one. If there isn't one, you don't. It won't be the RS, this is 3M. Read the last RS. Tell a PC, I'm now going to read to you the last rock-slamming item. And he sometimes is doped off and he thinks you're going to say the last rocket reading item or something. And PCs get educated like this. Don't worry about raw meat, just use the same parlance. And he thinks it's his item for a moment. They say, well, that's not my item. He said, yes, I know, I said the rocket reading, the last rock-slamming item, and so on. I didn't hear you. There's no reason to get into sense like that, so just be very positive. Say, this is the last rock-slamming item. I have to see if it reads. It is not your item. And you read it, bang, you see it doesn't read. Now I'm going to read the next to the last rocket-reading item. It is not your item, to see if it reads. And it is bong, and you read it, and you see that it doesn't read. Now I'm going to read the last rocket reading item on the list, which is your item. A tiger, bang. Immediately tell the PC, don't monkey with it, see? That reads. That reads, that's fine. That's your item. Go on. You'll get back, so you'll groove right into that exact procedure. What's the reason for that procedure? That's so you don't read the PC an item and then take his attention off of it to something else. Because the rule is, the last thing you do is read the PC's item to him. And you don't ever drag his attention off of that item with anything. Now let me show you the difficulty you can get into. You didn't know you had two rocket reading items together on a list, see? You had one rocket read on the first column of your list, and you had another rocket read on the last column of your list, and you had two together. So you say, idiot simple walking, simple Simon in the pies, you say, I'm not going to read you the next to the last rocket reading item, which is not your item, and then read him the upper item of the pair. Well, actually, the only way you had to tell when you first put this thing down, you see, he actually was thinking of the item while he said the other item to you. So actually, it looked like two rocket read, and you've just presented the PC with these rocket reading items, see? And it goes, pow! You say, I'm now going to read the next to the last item. It is not your item. A water buck. Pow! Say, uh-oh. The PC said, yes, a water buck. What? You've now got to say, well, I've got to read the other item now. I'm awfully sorry. And you'll find the PC will start going real sour on you, and now you have to get in and get in some suppressors off and all this kind of thing. You just had trouble, see? So there's an additional rule to this. When two lie together, you don't lay in any statement that it's the PC's, and you read the rocket reading item earlier than that pair. read the earlier item than the pair. Don't call the next to the last rocket reading item the one, the upper one of a pair, because you could be very wrong. This has actually happened in session, which is why I know about it. Leave the PC. You've given him his item. You said this is the next to the last item. It isn't your item. You see, you gratuitously invalidated the whole thing, and there he goes. Wow. No, you mustn't distract the PC's attention. You mustn't distract his attention after you've given him the item. That's your nuance. Now, these are very simple rules. These are very simple rules. It's something like learning a number of addresses. You can read any God's quantity and memorize any quantity of addresses. You can read and memorize them in complicated ways, so long as they always come up in that series. Well, that's what you've got here. But there's something for you to memorize on it. You better get these rules. Now, I know that this material is not immediately available to you, and you haven't got it in hand. Actually, you now have 3 lectures on this subject. I invite your attention to them. I also invite your attention to some rules and regulations of HCO Bulletin here on St. Hill Briefing Course, HCO Bulletin, I think, the 12th. Invite your attention to those, because it says that ignorance of the technology is no excuse for a goof. And if you goof, you've had it. It isn't the instructor's fault. It's yours. In the unit, on your first day at St. Hill, we hold you responsible for knowing the whole of everything you were doing. And the instructor comes along, and he says, "Well, that rocket slam looks big enough to me. It's 1/8 of an inch wide. Go on and pose it." And the person says, "Oh, all right, all right." And goes ahead and poses it, and the bank beefs up, and the PC starts caving in, and dark hollows underneath the PC's eyes, and somebody happens to see this PC and says, "Who's your auditor?" And he says, "Oh, that's Joe Blow," and so forth. Well, Joe Blow gets an infraction, and if it looks too bad, it's 2 weeks with no auditing, which is just 2 weeks lost course time, and which carries with it the same equivalent of a 1,500-word infraction sheet. You can only have 5,000 words of infraction until you get sent down from the course. That's terrible, isn't it? In other words, you've got a bunch of new auditing regulations coming out. Why? Because I want you to take responsibility for cases. And I don't care if some instructor came along and said, "Stand the PC on the head." You did stand the PC on the head, and it didn't work. You're for it, not the instructor. You got that? I'll take care of the instructor. You see why? Now, we got to turn clears out here. Now, the material I've been giving you follows a 1-2-3-4 rule. And I've already seen that somebody Thursday night, listening to a lecture, somebody with a bulletin in his hot hand on a case on which the gold had already been found, could disobey all of it and wind up in 3M opposing a rock-slamming item 1/4 inch wide and actually go ahead and oppose it. Somebody's counting on the instructor, man. Somebody's counting on Susie telling them what to do. You're not going to have an instructor when you get out of here. You're not going to have Susie. We just got to make up our minds right now that you have to know how to clear people. And you're going to be able to clear people. We're going to make sure that you're able to clear people. And I start making sure of that on your first day on course now, because you saw into the entire complications of 212A. If your PC looks bad, you're for it. "Yes," you say, "but I haven't had time to read the bulletins. I haven't passed them on my check sheet." Ha ha, I'm sorry, that has nothing to do with it. "The tapes are all used up and we can't listen to them anymore." I'm sorry, that has nothing to do with it. Makes you responsible for getting your own data. Why? Why can we move up like that? Well, we've been talking for a long time that we Scientologists ought to be an example in ourselves of the efficacy and working of Scientology. And that's what we've been saying for a long time. I'm sitting in the driver's seat now. I was the first go clear last night for 3 minutes. Thank you very much, and good night.